When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's right, the Final Four is set, and this is how we got there. Paige Bueckers and Caitlin Clark once again put on electric performances. Bueckers had 28 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists in a win over USC, and Clark had 41 with 7 rebounds and 12 assists in a win over LSU. Our girl, Andrea, is back. Dre, I'm going to start with you on this one. How big is the Clark-Bueckers matchup?
It's huge. It's like I would literally call it a colossal matchup between these two. One, because of everything that they've been through, Paige with her injuries, Caitlin with almost winning a national championship last season. But you have to remember, these two were the topic of conversation their freshman year in terms of who's going to win National Freshman of the Year. Caitlin scored more points per game her freshman year, but Paige was more efficient her freshman year. Paige's team was a little bit better, and everybody was trying to decide who's the better player. Who would you rather have on your team? That's still a topic of conversation. So these two having the opportunity, there's nothing but respect between them. We're not creating this rivalry. We're not saying they hate each other, but they are two of the best in the game right now that have been that way since their freshman year with an opportunity to go head to head. And the difference is they could guard each other. Iowa might go zone, but Caitlin might be guarded by Paige. And having that one-on-one matchup to watch them go at it and watch Paige try to slow down or limit Caitlin, which we've seen not very many people be able to do, it could be a truly special game to watch them go one-on-one. We watched Paige defend Juju. That was special. Paige possibly defending Caitlin and then trying to operate on the offensive end like the smooth criminal that she's been all season long. It's going to be, I could keep going. I'm going to let the guys jump in, but this one's going to be amazing.
You know, the game is always about the game within the game. It was much more than the Lakers, than the Celtics. It was Bird Magic. It was Russell Chamberlain. And anytime you see two greats, it was not only the Patriots versus the Colts, it was Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. And this is what we have. We have two elite players. Yes, it's UConn versus Iowa. We always like, oh, it's my team, it's this team, that team. No, we want to see Caitlin Clark. And we want to see Paige Bueckers. And we hopefully we get an opportunity to see these link up. That I'm guarding you, you guarding me. Because at some point in time, it's going to have to happen. We hope the game is close enough late in the ball game, Andrea and Steve, that, hey, you know what? Because that's what KD and LeBron did. That's what Bird and Magic did. That's what Jordan, who's the best player over there? Let me get it. That's what Kobe would do. So I want to see the game within the game. But, hey, it's two big-time players. Both have been player of the years. Paige Bueckers was a player of the year her freshman year. The last 2 years has been Caitlin Clark. Paige is coming off that gruesome knee injury, and she's just now rounding into shape. Can you imagine? If you see what she looks like now, wait till you see her next year. But this is going to be the game. I want to see it. I'm going to watch it. But it's the game within the game for me. Paige Bueckers, Caitlin Clark, UConn, Iowa. Somebody's moving on to the national championship game.
There's more than one way to define and cement legacies, but it's still very few. It's more than one, but it's still very few. And this is one of those situations where you brought up teams. Listen, when we talk about Magic and Bird, Magic had Kareem and Worthy and Byron Scott, Norm Nixon before that, Michael Cooper, Michael Thompson, folks like that. Bird had McHale and Parrish and Ainge and Henderson and
DJ.
All of these other guys, DJ Dennis Johnson, of
Tiny course, Archibald.
The late great Dennis Johnson, of course, Tiny Archibald, one of the greatest small guards in the history of the game. But you still found yourself talking about Bird and Magic.
Yeah.
And why? Because in the sport of basketball, that individual confrontation means everything. And so when we look at Paige Bueckers and we look at Caitlin Clark, as big as it is going to be for women's college basketball, as big as it's going to be for women's basketball, period, it's even bigger for Paige Bueckers than Caitlin. Because after last night's performance, like you said, Shannon, Caitlin checked all the boxes. I mean, you just look at that. You saw her last year in the semifinals against South Carolina with the 41. You saw her last night with another 41 against LSU. You saw her knock off that giant, the reigning defending NCAA champions. Caitlin has checked the boxes. With Paige, we know what Paige could be and should be had it not been for her injuries. But now that she's back, to really put herself on the map, considering this isn't a typical UConn team. Yeah, you got to the Final Four, but even Andrea pointed out, they weren't supposed to be here, not with the plethora of injuries that they've had, not with the able bodies that they don't have available to them, not with the upward battle, uphill battle that they were going to have to fight. But Paige Becker's got them here. And so she's essentially doing for UConn what Caitlin Clark is doing for Iowa. And now that she's in this particular situation, now that she's recovered from her injury seemingly, and to go up against Caitlin Clark, again, because of what we know about Caitlin Clark and what she has cemented, it's Paige's turn to provide that cement to her legacy as well. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be real interesting to see how she responds to that challenge this Friday night. I suspect both of them are going to have big time games.
You know what this reminds me of, too? Like, I can't let this moment pass without giving some credit to the women that both of these players look up to. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of this past season's WNBA Finals. What was the game within the game in the WNBA Finals? It was Breanna Stewart and Asia Wilson. That was the one-on-one matchup that everybody wanted to watch. They guarded each other. They went at each other. They both made tough buckets. You have Asia Wilson with her fadeaway and her elbows out, and you foul her every time she takes a shot. She took over in moments. And then what happened to the Aces? They had a depleted roster. I'm not saying that Connecticut's going to win the game, but the Aces had a depleted roster and still won that game. So you also saw masterful coaching. You're going to have to see that from both sides. Like, this matchup, all of it's just flooding to me, watching Asia and watching Breanna Stewart, and also watching their teammates be great. And their teammates have to step up in those moments. So that's the parallel that I'm drawing. It's immediate. It's right there. Both of these players have watched those two players. It's just, it's incredible what we're going to be able to watch again after witnessing greatness in the W.
And Paige is trying to do something that every great UConn woman that came through that program has done. Win a national championship. Yeah. All the great ones have been player of the year, but if you, to solidify you to get by Taurasi and Maya Moore and Breanna Stewart and all those, Tina Charles, you got to get one. If it's only one, like Luther used to say all the time, Stephen A., if only for one night, if you could only get one, Breanna got four, Taurasi got three, but if you could only get one, that cements your legacy at UConn.
And that's so much pressure. And that's so much pressure because think about it. You go to Storrs, Connecticut.
Yes.
Your women's basketball. You go to Storrs, Connecticut. As great as you are as a player, think about the room that they have. Think about the greatness that has blessed that campus, that university. And you the lone one without a championship?
Yeah.
And that is not a good feeling.
Yeah.
That is not a good feeling.
They're reminded of it every day.
Those homecomings. Yeah. Those homecomings. You the one person that ain't going to want to show up.
Right, exactly.
You the one person that ain't going to want to show up to homecoming.
Yeah. Okay, Dre, before you go, I want to ask you this, start with you on this question. Who do you think is the biggest threat to South Carolina? We haven't really been talking about South Carolina that much because obviously they're dominating. So who do you think is the biggest threat?
Iowa's the biggest threat to South Carolina.
I agree.
And there are multiple reasons why. You have to give NC State credit. NC State has Isaiah James. They've got shooters. They've got electric guards. Iowa, one, has Caitlin Clark. Two, has more depth than Connecticut. And three, they've beaten South Carolina before. Now, this is a completely different South Carolina team, but in the same idea of having to go up against elite length and skill and athleticism and depth, Iowa is the only team out of the three remaining that can at least have in the back of their mind, we've done this before. Not only have we done it before, we did it just last season when no one thought we could do it. So I think Iowa, given their experience, given Caitlin Clark and her three-point shooting ability, that's the biggest difference in keeping games close with South Carolina. You need about a 12 to 15-point difference from the three-point line. Caitlin Clark can give you that herself. Once Gabby Marshall and Kate Martin start hitting threes, it's problematic on all fronts. So with the way Caitlin's teammates are playing, the way she's playing, and their experience from last season of doing exactly that, Iowa would have the best chance of taking down South Carolina.
No disagree.
I agree with everything you said, Andrea, but the difference between this year's South Carolina team and last year's, this team can shoot from the outside. 100%. You remember last year when Caitlin Clark said, I ain't even worried about you. Yep. Go ahead and shoot it. Stephen A. turned the back on her. Yep. Now you can't do that because they can knock down those shots. And plus their size and size with Cardoso and the other big. Like you said, Andrea, they're going to have to beat them from the outside, but South Carolina has better outside shooting, and we know their presence on the inside. But I do believe Iowa is still the best team that has the best chance of beating them.
Also, we got to peel about who's the program with the most pressure. You're Dawn Staley. You lost in the Final Four last year. You've had back-to-back undefeated regular seasons, okay? You're like literally, you know, 73-72-1 in the last 2 years, and your only loss is to Caitlin Clark. You know what? You're going to lose again? That's their storyline. UConn, we already talked about Paige Beckett and the pressure that comes with her and how you can't be the one that didn't deliver a championship. You got Caitlin Clark. Hey, look. You were lost in the national championship game last year. You're cemented as one of the great players we've ever seen in the history of college basketball. But no championship to show for it? That's pressure in and of itself. The team with the least amount of pressure, it appears, is NC State.
NC State.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
All right. Unfortunately, we got to leave it there. Andrea, great to see you. We miss you. And by we, I mean me, because I haven't been in a very long time.
Yes.
Haven't you been watching on TV?
I haven't been able to hang out.
I've been watching on TV. Yeah. I see you all the time.
Yeah. But it's
doing
different.
Great.
It's different when she's IRL.
All right.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, it's time for a quick take. The Yankees are off to a blazing start after a four-game sweep of the Astros to open the season. The Yankees took the first game from the D-backs last night, 5-2. Stephen A., what are you taking away from the Yankees' 5-0 fast start?
Well, I'm very, very happy. Juan Soto batting .450 with a .560 on base percentage. He's accounted for 6 runs in the 5 games that the Yankees have won this year, starting off undefeated. Gold Glove, shortstop Volpe. I mean, what is he doing here? He's got four hits last night. Sent .571 to start the season. We understand that's not going to last, but damn it, I'm happy with that as well. Cabrera has 7 RBIs, filling in for DJ LeMahieu. I'm very, very happy about that. We got to pay attention to that. Gerrit Cole sideline. The Yankees pitching staff still ranks 3rd in the majors with an ERA of 2. That is what matters to me most. Pitching wins championships. Baseball is the most frustrating sport to me in this regard. 8 dudes could show up ready to ball. And that damn pitcher can ruin everything for everybody. Whoever that pitcher is. Nothing drives me more crazier than that. Okay? Where everybody ready to roll. You remember in Atlanta a couple of years back when St. Louis beat them and they got Atlanta just blitzing and pitching. Or St. Louis blitzed them. Atlanta's pitching in sharp, just giving up like 14, 15 runs before they had a chance to pass gas. That frustrates the living hell out of me. 8 dudes. The catcher, the first base, everybody. Then get the manager, the equipment people. They could all show up. And that damn pitcher could ruin everything. That's the problem that I have with baseball, pretty much. But the Yankees right now don't have that problem.
Yeah, I'm happy that a free agent. Stephen A., I'm happy that a high-dollar free agent has come in for the Yankees and played well.
Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous, Stretch Chad. Yeah. Don't you try that. We ain't got to. Listen, Yankees ain't won a damn World Series since 2009. We don't want to hear that. I'll take whatever I can get, however I can get it. We ain't being choosy right now.
I'm happy. You know the big dollar guys, normally when they get to Yankee Stadium, all of a sudden they can't pitch or
John
they can't
hit. Giancarlo
Stanton.
Had a hard time.
171. What the hell is wrong with him?
Juan Soto's delivering, though. He's delivering. That's what he's saying.
Well, Juan going to show up.
He's balling.
Well, he's playing for a new contract. He going to show up. I believe in that
kid. Yes.
And he's a champion. I believe in that kid. I ain't got no problems with Soto. I love him and Aaron Judge. You understand? Aaron Judge, I'm sorry for throwing that first pitch out there the way that I did after you.
Oh, man.
My baby. I'm sorry about that, man.
We'd almost forgotten about it.
I know, exactly.
But you reminded me.
I don't deserve you to forget about it.
Right, okay.
Shannon didn't forget about it.
Right. Shannon didn't forget about it.
He said, no, he didn't.
That's exactly what it was like. All right, let's move on to the association. Philadelphia 76ers star Joel Embiid is nearing a return and could play sometime this week, sources told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski yesterday. The reigning MVP was leading the NBA in scoring when he suffered a left meniscus injury and has been out since January 30th. In his absence, the 76ers have gone 14-27 and are currently eighth in the East. I do want to mention also that Tim Bontemps tweeted about 10 minutes ago that Joel Embiid is not at shoot around this morning in Philly. So Tim Legs, obviously back with us. Legs, what is the 76ers ceiling with Embiid healthy?
If they can win a play-in game, get the 7th spot, then it's conference finals. You got to avoid the Boston Celtics. That's the bottom line. If they end up in the 8th spot, you play Boston right off the bat, it'll be first round. If they have a chance to go up against the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round, absolutely Philadelphia could win that series. Here's the thing about Embiid, and this is very rare for me to say this, guys, for a player to miss that much time, to come back with such little time to prepare for the postseason and come out of the play-in and expect that team to be able to win a couple of rounds, I don't think I've ever said anything like that before, but we're talking about a different kind of player. Number one, there's no matchup for this guy. There's no scheme you can come up with. There's no personnel that affects him. He is the most dominant offensive player in the Eastern Conference. That's what you're getting back, and you're getting back a guy with fresh legs. There is no question in my mind, if he takes the court at any point, he is 100%. He's telling them, I feel perfect physically, or else he's not seeing the court. So you know he's going to be fine. Now you give him a few games to get his stamina up, shake off a little bit of rust that he may have, and now you inject that into the Eastern Conference playoffs. For me, you're going to have to make a compelling argument that teams have played to such an extent that they're above that level that the Sixers can catch. There's only one team like that in the East, and that's Boston. Milwaukee's not on that level. Milwaukee has been basically a 500 team for the last 2 months. The Philadelphia 76ers getting back an energized and fresh Joel Embiid going into a potential best-of-seven series with the Bucks. Yes, I do think Philadelphia could win that series and eventually take on the Boston Celtics in the conference finals. That is their ceiling. Doesn't mean it's necessarily going to play out that way.
Question.
Fresh legs, cold lungs. Because how many minutes are you going to be able to play him, Legs? Can you play him his full allotment of minutes? Can you give him 35 to 40 minutes on a nightly basis when the games are happening every other day? I agree with you. I think if they can avoid Boston, I still don't believe they can beat Milwaukee, given that he's coming back after missing 2 months. I don't know how much time. Is he going to be on a minutes restriction? Are you saying, okay, Joel, you just throw him out there and says, hey, go like you would normally play, which is what, somewhere between 35, I'm assuming 35 in 38 minutes. I agree with you. I do believe if they can avoid Boston, they can give everybody else fits in that conference. I don't believe they can beat Milwaukee in a 7-game series because I don't believe he can play enough minutes. Now, while he's out there, he can do some damage, but what happens when he goes to the bench? Yes, I love Tyrese Maxey. He's been unbelievable. They've been getting great production from Kelly Oubre. Tobias Harris has been chipping in as well. But all that being said, is he really contingent on how many minutes Joel Embiid can give you and how healthy that knee is? Other than that, nah, I still don't believe they can beat Milwaukee or Boston in a 7-game series. All bets are off for everybody else.
Philadelphia 76ers are 26-8 with Embiid, 14-27 without him. So we understand what he means. We understand how great he is. Nobody's disputing that. But since we want to play the if game, since we want to do that, all right, it's the truth, Shannon. Let me tell you something right now. If the New York Knicks get healthy enough to play, Mitchell Robinson, OG Anunoby, Julius Randle, if the New York Knicks out there, Philly ain't beating them. With Embiid, that's right, I said it. You understand what I'm saying? Philadelphia going home in the second round again. That's a maybe. You understand? They ain't beat Milwaukee. They ain't beating New York. And they damn sure ain't beating Boston. That's right, I said it, okay? Let me tell y'all something right now. Y'all, the blasphemy. Have you seen the New York Knicks? Once they acquired Anunoby, have you seen the kind of role they were on? Have you seen how ferocious they are defensively? Have you seen how hard they play? Let me tell you something right now, man. If the New York Knicks are healthy, I'm going to take it a step further.
Okay, I'm waiting on this.
They're going to go to the conference finals. Now, again, I don't know if that could happen with Julius Randle, but I still believe they could beat Philly. I don't see Philly going to the conference finals. I'll tell you that right now. Now, if you want to tell me Milwaukee and Boston, I'll stand down, y'all. I'll stand down because there's a lot of ifs associated with the New York Knicks. But again, since you're throwing out those ifs, I'm going to say to you, if you can say if and be, I'm telling you right now, with a healthy and be, they still going home.
You left out one, have you seen? You said about six have you seen. Have you seen what Josh Hart just said about those two guys coming back? I'm expecting not to see them.
Oh, Lord.
That is what Josh Hart just said 2 days ago.
Well, he ain't no damn doctor.
Now, listen, I agree. First of all,
he ain't ever no Josh Hart. He didn't watch his mouth.
Listen to me.
Stop it.
When they got all those guys, I was the first one to say it. I thought the New York Knicks could actually be the last team standing against Boston if they were fully healthy, but we haven't seen it. I don't expect to see it. But let me ask you a question.
Sure. Put Shannon up on the screen. I want to see Shannon when we ask these questions. Go ahead.
I'm gonna ask Stephen A. something. You can answer too. All right. So let's just focus more on Julius Randle because I think he is critical to have that second offense generator for that team.
Okay.
Who do you trust more after a really long layoff to come back and be close to their dominant self? Joel Embiid or Julius Randle? Thank you.
Of course, I'm not disputing that with y'all. But here's my point. From a collective standpoint, who do you trust more defensively? I trust the New York Knicks. And I'm telling
you
right
now.
And by the way, they'll have home court advantage. Yeah. Let me tell y'all something right now. Philadelphia, listen, Embiid, I support him coming back. But do I got them going to the conference finals? Hell no. If we going to play the if game, that's right. Yeah. Talk about no. I got my Knicks, man. I got my Knicks, Shannon. That's what we rolling, Tim.
Did y'all just lose two games in a row?
Mid-back shell. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with the turnaround jumper. Listen, you ain't got three damn starters up in there, and you gave Oklahoma City a run for their money. It took Shai Gilgeous-Alexander turnaround jump shot with a little over a second left to win the damn game for them. Don't get me started with that.
Jalen Brunson needs help.
I agree.
He needs offensive help. And look, Anunoby is going to be their third best offensive player, but more of a spot up guy and a slasher. It's Randle. He's the key. And it just doesn't look good for Julius Randle to make a return to this team. But Joel Embiid, it looks imminent. Whether it's tonight or soon, he's going to play for the 76ers, and he's going to be on his roster with fresh legs
The playoffs. Without Julius Randle, the New York Knicks would have been battling for the top two seed in the East right now if Anunoby and Mitchell Robinson was there. What you leaning back for, Shannon, with the bright orange on? What you leaning back for? You represent New York with the blazer on, baby.
You represent New York with the blazer on. You do look like you're in Knicks colors right now. I'm not going to lie.
Stephen A., give it up for this year for the Knicks. You're looking great for next year. But y'all not going to do anything.
Hold on.
You're not going to do anything this year.
You ain't give it up for the Lakers. You still holding on for hope. Even though I've been to more Knicks games than you've been to Lakers games. You know what I'm saying? Where you been?
Which player on the Knicks is GOAT James?
Well, GOAT James is struggling.
despite his greatness.
Party, did you see what he did, son?
I'm talking about his team. They're struggling, even though they've been coming on as of late.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
They've been coming on as of late. I give him credit where credit is due.
Okay.
But you know what? All I'm saying to you is that, no, the New York Knicks don't have LeBron James. They do not have that. LeBron is his name, not GOAT. But the point is, the way the New York Knicks play defense, Jalen Brunson's an MVP candidate. You do know this.
They
right?
play hard. They compete.
You do understand that Jalen Brunson is a viable MVP candidate. Are y'all willing to concede that?
Listen. Or the Knicks. He the MVP of the Knicks.
He ain't a viable MVP candidate, man. You gonna be that blasphemous. You really gonna do that?
He'll get some votes.
Stephen A.
He'll get some votes.
Legs, really? So you go by, so you already done been disrespected Luka. You disrespected Luka and put Shea over him, and now you disrespecting Jokic, and you disrespecting Giannis, and you disrespecting Jason Tatum.
Is that me?
You, not me.
About me?
You, Stephen, you.
Yeah,
you.
He definitely talked to me.
I didn't put Brunson over Jokic.
I didn't do any of those things.
I didn't put him over Jokic. I didn't do that.
You put – What, so how many votes do you have? I mean, damn. Jokic.
Third place.
Wait, how many slots do you get?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Yes.
How many names you get to write?
Listen. Top four, five. Is there a top five for MVP?
Brunson?
No, I'm saying, is there a top five for
MVP? Yeah, you're going to get five votes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, five.
Legs, let me ask you a question. Yeah. Is Brunson in the MVP candidate, or are you running for president in the general election? Damn, if we got 300 million votes out there.
Hey, you know what? He might. Those have been watching basketball.
Listen, when I said he's going to get some votes, his name is going to be written on one of those five lines by some people.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I don't think he's a legitimate threat to win the MVP.
No, not at all.
It's down to three people.
But he warrants consideration because that's how great he is.
Hey, I'm going to tell y'all both something, though, this. If Dallas Mavericks had 10 more games, Luka's winning the MVP. He's going to run out of time because he's going to be 6-7 wins below Denver and Oklahoma City. Ultimately, that's going to cost him. The way Dallas is playing now, the way he's played all year, literally 8 to 10 more games, Luka Doncic would win MVP.
I can't deny it. Luka's been sensational. And Kyrie Irving has been big time as well. Let's give him some love. He's been big time, no doubt.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Yeah! What's up, everybody? I was on vacation laughing. I saw imitators, you understand what I'm saying? But nothing is better than the original. Your boy Stephen A is back with another A-list just especially for you as this NCAA tournament is going on and the NBA playoffs is approaching. Keep in mind, the list is fluid. Okay? We gonna go top five box office NBA matchups of all time, individually, not team Tim Legler, not team Shay, individually. Let's go to number five on the list. Please give it to me right now. Bam! Larry Bird versus Julius Dr. J. Irving. Remember the Cradle Ducks against L.A.? Remember Bird and Dr. J. going up against one another from 1980 to 1985. Played against each other four times in the Eastern Conference Finals. Split it 2-2. Playoff record, 12-12 against each other. Regular season playoffs combined, Larry Bird held a slight advantage, 35-33. But before, even with Magic and Bird fomenting, growing in the mind's eye of the American public, Dr. Dr. J, Julius Erving, with a championship having escaped him, wanting that. Yes, it took Moses Malone, 4-5-4, to deliver the goods. Andrew, Tony, Mo Cheeks and the crew. But the 76ers against Bird and the Celtics, Dr. J versus Larry Bird, that was big time right there. They ain't top four, though. Give it to me right now, please. Bam! LeBron versus Steph. Now, four straight times in the NBA Finals, they went against one another. The first go-round, Golden State wins, but Kyrie Irving got hurt, Kevin Love goes down, and obviously all LeBron had was Matthew Dellavedova. I ain't forget that, Shay Shay, okay? So I'm giving LeBron love, right? But then they come back, okay? They ultimately win the deal, overcoming a 3-1 deficit, even though Adam Silver in the NBA gave LeBron that stimulus package.
Don't do that.
Draymond Green got thrown to the floor and they suspend him. You understand what I'm saying? Game five. And then Bogut and Iguodala got hurt in game five. They lose that game, lose game six, and then come back and lose game seven with the block by LeBron and the three from Kyrie to deliver the goods. Okay, we understand what that was about. Then they go out and they get KD, and they need KD to win back-to-back titles. So we understand it, but that's still an epic rivalry. They ain't top three, though. Give it to me. 0-1, can't leave it off. Bill Russell versus Will Chamberlain. Now, history demands that we have to do that only because Russell and Wilt are two of the iconic figures in the sport. But Russell did have 11 chips. Wilt only had two, which is something I religiously held against Wilt Chamberlain. But nevertheless, he was the most dominant big man of the era up until in the history of the game. And some would argue the only thing that rivaled him was Shaquille O'Neal. So because of his dominance, his greatness, his once averaging 50 in a season, for crying out loud, you can't talk about rivalries in the sport of basketball without mentioning Russell and Wilt. I had to throw it in there, so I put it in the middle. They ain't top two, though. Give it to me right now. Ready for this? Bam! Michael Jordan versus Isaiah Thomas. Now, we know Jordan about the six titles. We know about the 2 3-peats. We know all of that. Long before that, he couldn't get over the hump. The Detroit Pistons kept standing in their way. It was Zeke, but it was Dumas. It was Lambert. It was Sally. It was James Edwards. It was Dennis Rodman. It was the microwave Vinnie Johnson coming off the bench. Let's not forget, okay, Mark Aguirre, okay, Adrian Dantley before that. The Detroit Pistons, the Bad Boys. There was a reason Jordan rules became something that was so well known because they implemented it. They were formidable. We understood the greatness of the Detroit Pistons. The Bad Boys don't get enough love and recognition for how formidable and tough they truly were. Gotta give them love. And remember Isaiah in that game six against LA when he dropped over 40 on 25 in the quarter on a bad ankle. You understand? And they couldn't really go in a game seven, and they lost to the Lakers before coming back and winning back to back. That's number two. They ain't number one, though. The greatest of all, right here.
Okay.
Larry Bird versus Irvin Magic Johnson. It didn't start in the NBA, y'all. It started in college when Magic was at Michigan State with Kelser and the boys, okay? And Larry Bird, the hick from French Lick, was at Indiana State, averaging over 30 a game and doing great things that he was doing, all right? And then they come to the pros. And they come to the pros and they rekindle that rivalry. Not immediately, because the Philadelphia 76ers was in the way. That's why I got Bird and Dr. J at number five in the early 80s. Even Ralph Sampson and Hakeem Olajuwon in Houston got in the way 1 year, knocking LA out in the first round. But in the end, the 80s was dominated by this, and the stage was set coming into the 80s. I got Bird Magic. I got Jordan Isaiah. I got Russell Wilt. I got LeBron Steph. I got Bird and Dr. J, Julius Erving. Box office NBA matchup in history. Floor is y'all.
I'm going to give you a lot of credit. A lot of credit. Because this one right here, that shows a certain level of awareness. I didn't think you'd go there. I did not think you would include that. And I'm sitting over there saying, if he leaves off Bird and Dr. J, that's a massive omission that's going to greatly affect my grade at the end of this.
That's right.
That would have greatly affected my grade.
Okay.
Overall, I think you got the right five. I would have switched one.
Okay. I'm listening.
I would flip-flop these two. I think I'd put
You'd Russell. Have Russell Wilt
I think
higher?
I'd put Russell Wilt too. Yeah.
Yes.
I think we all agree on this.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Does anybody disagree with Bird Magic? Hey, I'll take a step.
No.
This changed the course of my life.
Wow.
Because I was a baseball player. Until these two dudes started playing in the 80s.
Wow.
I went to high school in 1980 as a freshman, had not played organized basketball.
Wow.
I was a baseball player.
Okay.
Watching these two teams and these two players, the way that changed the course of my life and what I wanted to do with my life. So that's number one, no question. I think I go Russell Wilt too, though, Shannon. I don't know, man. That's a tough one.
Go ahead, Shannon.
I did. I went Bird Magic 1, obviously. I went Wilt Russell 2. I went LeBron Steph 3.
Over Jordan Isaiah.
Because okay, remember, Stephen A., they met four times in the NBA Finals.
Okay.
And then I got, guess who I got number 5?
What?
KD LeBron.
Oh, stop it.
No.
Stop it. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
KD LeBron.
That's ridiculous.
Can't do that.
You can't do that.
And
you can't do that.
No, can't do that. Hold on. Think about
that was a
okay,
big
twice in the finals, and then think about the regulars. Hold on. They met three times in the finals. You forget OKC.
You forget OKC. Them. They were puppies.
They were puppies.
And you should appreciate that. You have enough puppies your damn self. You should appreciate exactly where I'm coming from. Stop that nonsense, okay?
There's no way we're going to bring up OKC. Y'all see what y'all do? Y'all do everything y'all can to undermine Gold James. Now, y'all didn't do that.
don't lump me together with him on that.
Come on, undermining them. You know what you had to be? LeBron with D-Wade and Bosh going up against puppies. Russell Westbrook, James Harden, those boys were great, but they were young.
You didn't say that when LeBron went up against Tim Duncan.
I did say that. We never held against him for losing to Tim Duncan in the first round of 2007.
Shannon, if KD had stayed in OK City and played against LeBron like later when he had Westbrook in the finals like multiple times,
they would be on his list. But not right now. Hold on, let me get to your list. Let me get to both of y'all lists. Hold on. First of all, let me address you, Shannon, okay? Okay. Here's the deal. You look at LeBron versus Steph. Yes, it's four NBA finals. But the bottom line is Steph went 3-1. That's number one. Number two, KD came on board. So that kind of interrupted the direct confrontation between those two.
Uh-huh.
That's why I would leave them at four, Shannon. In terms of you with Russell, the 11-2 discrepancy is why I have them at three. Because Wilt didn't measure up in the end. You can't have a direct nemesis with 13 championships on the table, 11 goes to one of them and 2 goes
Stephen
to the
a.
other.
Stephen
That's
A., you do re- hold on. You do realize Russell had 11 Hall of Famers on his team, right?
Whoa. This is basketball. You did have Jerry West. You did have some weapons of your own if you were with Chamberlain now.
KC Jones, John Havlicek,
Jarman,
Kuzi.
I got it. But this is basketball. And you did have some Hall of Famers yourself. Will wasn't playing by his damn self.
The whole roster, Hall of Famers.
Listen, I got him at three. I got him at three instead of two. Jordan Isaiah, let me say this to y'all. Jordan Isaiah is the one person on the planet Earth who has said, and justifiably so,
y'all don't
want to give me credit. I got at Jordan, and we beat him more times than we lost to them. He did bring that up, and he's right.
He beat Magic and Kareem. He beat Bird, McHale, and Parrish also.
Hey, by the way, Isaiah is like the one unique guy in that. Guess what? You could sub out this name, and I could throw in Magic versus Isaiah. I could throw in Bird versus Isaiah. Right. A lot of people versus Isaiah,
as it turns out. And he beat them all.
Here's the one thing real quick about this I want to just say. One difference about this one than these other four, there was very little like direct mano a mano because of the position.
Correct.
Like all these guys actually would go against each other like possession by possession at times. Not so much there, which is probably why I wouldn't put that any higher than you did.
Okay. Lex, can you give him a quick
grade? Look, I think this is the highest grade I'm ever going to give you.
Oh, wow.
It's just like it says up here, A and then a minus.
Oh, wow.
You almost had it. If you had Russell Wilt 2, I would have given you an A or an A+. I give you an A minus.
The mere fact that he got them up there like that, I'm going to give you an A, Stephen A. That's a great
list.
Wow,
that's a really good list.
Hold on. It's a big day.
I'm getting emotional right now. Shannon gave me an A, man. And you gave me an A minus, man. This is a very touching moment for me, America.
Hey, Stephen A. You and I both had a shot at LaPortier this morning, so I don't know what I'm doing.
I might have some problems.
Shay by LaPortier. Yeah.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
WrestleMania 40 takes place this Saturday and Sunday from Philadelphia, featuring a main event between Universal Champion Roman Reigns and the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes. Will be live in studio tomorrow with Stephen A. There may be a familiar face in Dallas next season. Sources told ESPN's Jeremy Fowler that the Cowboys and free agent running back Ezekiel Elliott are open to a reunion. Zeke spent the first 7 years of his career in Dallas, where he led the league in rushing twice and made 3 Pro Bowls. We got Shannon Sharp here. We got Stephen A here. Stephen A, I'm going to start with you. Zeke returning to the Cowboys, big deal or no deal?
Well, I think it's a big deal, only from this standpoint. I don't think he's done. The reality is that when he was there a couple of years ago, the Dallas Cowboys had the top red zone offense in the National Football League. Last year was 14th. This dude, I mean, when you look at it, 12 red zone touchdowns in his last year in Dallas and 642 yards rushing last year in New England, that's more than the four running backs that Dallas have on their roster combined. Mm-hmm. I think it's a big enough deal, Shannon.
I agree with you, Stephen A. I think he helps on short yardage and goal line situation because that's where the Cowboys struggle. Third and short, fourth and short in the red zone because they were unable to run the football effectively. And so they were reliant on Dak throwing the football and put themselves in harm's way. So I think it's a nice deal. Is it earth-changing? Is it earth-shattering? No, Stephen A. But I do think that has give them the balance that they needed because they thought Pollard was the answer. They didn't realize it was Ezekiel Elliott wearing the defense down. Now Pollard comes in. Those guys are tired. He hits a crease. Now you give Pollard that increased workload. He wasn't able to sustain it. He's moved on to Tennessee. So I do think it would be a great reunion.
I do think it could end up being, I wouldn't say the words earth-shattering, but far more significant than you're willing to admit, Shannon, if the other dudes do what they're supposed to do. And it comes down to Ezekiel Elliott doing what he does in red zone and short yardage situations. I think having him there helps in that regard only, but in the end, if the rest of the Cowboys are doing what they're supposed to be doing, it could be far more significant than we realize.
No, when you say the other Cowboys, you need one name, Dak.
Dak Prescott.
You need Dak to do what he needs to do. You're not worried about CD. I love the tight end situation, the offensive line. Okay, you can move Tyler Smith back out to left tackle where he was playing left guard last year. He did a great job his rookie year. The defense should be as good, if not better. Micah is going to be raring to go because he wants that big contract.
Got you. By the way, we got to go, man, because I got to go drink my shake.
I was just about to say that. Are we?
Yeah, you know, I'll get on me some too.
Today? Okay, we'll have fun with that. I will not be doing that, but we'll see you guys tomorrow.